So we want to continue in what we started in the Rav's Shir on Birchas HaTorah. And the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, in Hilchas Tefillah, in Perek Zayin Halacha Yud, and in Halacha Yud Aleph, which I printed again for you here on this extra page, he starts by saying, Hamashkim Likro Bat Torah. So in event, that's how I would translate it, that a person wants to read Torah in the morning, learn Torah, Kodim Shiyikra Kriyat Shema, he hasn't yet recited Kriyat Shema, because otherwise he was Yotzei already with Birchas Kriyat Shema, he doesn't need Birchas HaTorah. Bein Kora B'Torah Shebichsav, Bein Kora B'Torah Shebal Peh, whether he's reading or studying, let's say, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh. And the Rama goes on to say that he has to recite the Birchas HaTorah. And here the Rambam presents the Birchas HaTorah in their formula. In the next halacha, he says, "B'chol yom chayev adam levarech shalosh brachos elu v'yachka kore mi'at mi'divrei Torah." The Rambam seems to be repeating himself in halacha Yud Aleph. Once again, he says that he has to recite these three brachos. He just finished telling us that he has to recite these three brachos. So the Rav points out that there's a fundamental difference between Halacha Yud and Halacha Yud Aleph. Whereas in Halacha Yud, he's talking about a person who's decided to study Torah, and as a result, he needs what the Rav calls a Birchas HaMatir, because every mitzvah before you fulfill it needs a bracha. In Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam is saying that regardless of whether he wants to learn, there's an independent requirement on a daily basis to recite the brachas and learn. This mitzvah, as opposed to the one that the Rambam speaks about in Halacha Yud, is not an isur, it's not a prohibition that you're not allowed to learn Torah without first making the bracha, but rather it's a chiyuv, and it's an absolute chiyuv. The first halacha, which is, as we said, like a birchas hanenim kind of thing, a matir, that's contingent on the fact that you've decided to learn. And from the perspective of Halacha Yud, if you haven't decided that you're going to learn, you don't need the brachas. But from the perspective of Halacha Yud Aleph, whether or not you've decided to learn, you have to learn, because there's an independent obligation to recite the brachas on a daily basis and then learn. We raised the question last week, why then do we need Halacha Yud? Meaning, once you have Halacha Yud Aleph and there's an absolute chiyuv to recite the brachas and learn, and that's a daily chiyuv that's incumbent upon each and every one of us, why do I need therefore the halacha that if he wants to learn, he has to make a bracha? I mean, he has to learn. He has to make the bracha and learn. So that was the question we raised last week. And assuming for some reason he's going to work and he's not learning, we understand very well why he needs Halacha Yud Aleph to tell me that there's an absolute chiyuv. We were just wondering in the reverse. Once we have Halacha Yud Aleph and there's an absolute chiyuv, unconditional, to recite Birchas HaTorah and then learn, why then do I need the first halacha, that halacha in Halacha Yud? Maybe I would think that the normal halacha of Birchas HaMitzvah, which prohibits you from doing a mitzvah without a bracha, doesn't apply over here. And the Rambam wants to add that dimension. So you have two dimensions. You have one dimension of an obligation to recite the brachas and learn. You have another dimension that learning needs a bracha, just like any mitzvah needs a matir. The Rav also points out that the first halacha is a universal halacha that applies to every mitzvah, and Talmud Torah is no different than any other mitzvah. The second halacha is a singular halacha with regard to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Namely, that a person has to recite three brachas and follow immediately with at least a minimum amount of Torah study. Then the Rav points out another thing. Yeah,
I wasn't here 2 weeks ago. Why would I have thought, if I only had Halacha Yud Aleph, that you wouldn't have to say a Birchas Mitzvah and Talmud Torah over Eliyahu?
No, maybe since they, I shouldn't say they, because according to the Ramban, at least halacha yud aleph is d'oraisa. So whether it's they, the rabbanan, or the Torah itself, imposed upon you an unconditional chiyuv to learn after you recited the bracha. So maybe the normal halacha of birchas hamitzvah doesn't apply. The Torah set up this new unique structure of a chiyuv, which we're going to have to get into as we go along, and that replaces the universal classical halacha of a birchas hamitzvah. I don't know. At this point in the Rav's development, he doesn't even address this question. Once I have halacha yud aleph, why do I need halacha yud? What I would ask you, and I mean you in the general sense, is to keep a scorecard. And if somebody could literally record the questions that we have, I have a pen here, just to keep it in a safe place, so that at the end of this entire limud, when we finish the unit, we can take each question one by one and address it, and see if we can, lemafrea, after everything is hopefully done, we can answer these questions. But at this point, the obvious question is, once I have halacha yud aleph, why do I need halacha yud? Good? Now the Rav makes another major point over here. He says that from the perspective of halacha yud, we basically go down the normal path of birchas hamitzvah. Whereas from halacha yud aleph, what we're talking about is basically a chiyuv Talmud Torah. Just that the Talmud Torah has to be accompanied by birchas haTorah. So we create a unit, almost like a sandwich. We start with birchas haTorah and then we continue with the limud. But the Rav assumes, and it's not 100% clear to me why, but the Rav assumes that the primary motif of this chiyuv in halacha yud aleph is Talmud Torah, to set up an absolute unconditional chiyuv of Talmud Torah, a minimum chiyuv of Talmud Torah on a daily basis. I don't care if you're going to work, I don't care if you're shipping off to San Francisco, I don't care where you're going, you still need to learn some Torah. Exactly how much, I don't know. The Rambam says ma'at. Now there's another halacha, that Torah doesn't stand on its own, it has to be enveloped, so to speak. The Rav used the word meluva, which means livui is an accompaniment, by the birchas haTorah. A further question that we raised is, which of the three brachos that the Rambam has is critical to fulfill halacha yud aleph? If you're asking me from the perspective of halacha yud, that's classic birchas haTorah, I would say just one of the three brachos. Asher kinshonu mitzvos v'tzivonu Lasok v'divrei Torah, or as the Sfaradim have it, al divrei Torah. Perhaps if you push me against the wall, I'll add another bracha, varevna. Maybe varevna is also on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But the third bracha, asher bachar banu, which is a praise to God for having chosen us as a nation and given us the Torah, that bracha is clearly a birchas shevach v'odaya. It's not a birchas hamitzvah, therefore would not fall under halacha yud. That's what I would have suggested. My only problem with that approach is that the Rambam indeed codifies all three brachas in halacha yud. And that gives me reason to believe that the Rambam is not just dedicated to the classical structure of birchas hamitzvah. So again, question number two that we have to come to grips with on our list is, why does the Rambam include the bracha asher bachar banu in halacha yud? It could have been very appropriate for halacha yud aleph, when he addresses the special mitzvah of Talmud Torah that's meluva with brachos, then we certainly want to inject that third bracha in and thank Hashem for giving us the Torah. But in halacha yud, where the Rav says the Rambam is just addressing birchas hamitzvah, why is asher bachar banu injected or integrated into this series of brachos? L'chora bachar banu has nothing to do with birchas hamitzvah.
So is the bracha of bachar banu, it's not a birchas hamitzvah, like when we read publicly from the Torah, that we're not making a birchas hamitzvah, we're making a, it's just a bracha of shevach?
Right, it's a shevach, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about it, because that bracha is what's called a davar shebekedusha, or at least a barchu that introduces that bracha. I'm not sure about the bracha itself. And what's a davar shebekedusha? Whenever we read the Torah publicly, that sibur dimension of the study of Torah elevates that study of Torah to the level of davar shebekedusha. And therefore, the Davish Mekdusha means that I'm publicly declaring Almighty God is King when I declare in front of a tzibur that God has intervened in the affairs of man, whether it's Klal Yisrael or individual man. It becomes a Davish Mekdusha. Now, the Rav wants to prove that indeed there are two separate halachas here. One halach of Birchas HaMitzvah as a matir, another halach of a separate chiyuv, unconditional to learn Torah and recite brachas before. From the fact that there are two sugyas in Masechta Brachos, which you'll see as the second and third sources on your page, and they don't seem to say the identical thing. And I honestly believe here, as a parenthetical insert, the Rav is giving us a derech halimut here. When you see a halacha that's quoted in two different sugyas in Shas, and it's not a cut and paste, it's not a repeat, it's got a different language to it, then you have to be very careful to study those two sugyas and compare them and contrast them and see how they're different. So that's what the Rav is going to do here. In Brachos Yud Aleph Amid Beis, the Gemara quotes a member of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, Hishkim Lashanos, if he wakes up and he wants to learn, again I'm adding that word, if he wants to study Torah, then Ad Shelo Kara Kriyat Shema, if he hasn't yet recited Kriyat Shema, so he doesn't have Birchas Kriyat Shema, Tzorech Levarech, he must recite Birchas HaTorah. However, Mishakara Kriyat Shema, if he wants to learn Torah after he's already read Kriyat Shema, Eino Tzarech Levarech, Shekvar Niftar Bi Avarab. So Avarab is a substitute for Birchas HaTorah. That's not for us now. The question we want to raise tonight is, having seen this Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph, let's jump 10 blot ahead to Daf Chaf Aleph. Minayin LeBirchas HaTorah Lefaneh Ben HaTorah. What is the Torah, the biblical source for Birchas HaTorah? Shenemar Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lelokeinu. This is a Pella. How do you justify this Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chaf Aleph in the light of what we've already been taught on Daf Yud Aleph? On Daf Yud Aleph, we've already established that Talmud Torah, like any other mitzvah, requires a bracha before it. So insofar as there's a takana with regard to all mitzvahs, that we need a bracha before we perform a mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel has already applied that to the case of Talmud Torah. So therefore you're ready to study Torah, you've got to make a bracha first. And with all the details about Birchas Avarabah, etc. Now, all of a sudden, Adaf Chafal, the Gemara out of the clear blue, Minayin LeBirchas HaTorah L'Fanem in HaTorah. First of all, if it's a classic Birchas HaMitzvah, I don't need a Minayin. Birchas HaMitzvah applies to every mitzvah. And secondly, even if you'll tell me there was a Havamina, that Birchas HaTorah, in other words, that Talmud Torah is different than any other mitzvah and it doesn't require a bracha, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel has already established that it requires a bracha. And thirdly, Birchas HaMitzvah is a Derabbanan. Here we're talking about a Bracha D'Oraisa. How do you understand these two sugyas? Now when I say Bracha D'Oraisa, you'll see in the Hasagas HaRamban, on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is the fourth source on your page, he claims that the Rambam left out this mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah, and it deserves to be incorporated in the Taryag. He says, this is mitzvah tezvavshin, it's tavinu lahodos lishmo, yisbarap chol eis, shenikra betorah, latovak dolish asalonu betato torah so eilenu. So we have to thank Hashem for having given us the Torah. And this is a mitzvah that applies daily and should be incorporated into the Taryag. And the Ramban proves this from the Gemara that we just saw on Daf Chaf Aleph. Minayin LeBirchas HaTorah L'Fanem Min HaTorah. Emphasize those two words, Min HaTorah. Shenemar Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lelokeinu. So therefore the Rav concludes that these two sugyas, the first on Daf Yud Aleph, the second on Daf Chaf Aleph, are addressing two different issues, two different mitzvos. The first, on Daf Yud Aleph, is addressing, as we said before, and the Rambam codifies it in Halacha Yud, on the top of your page, Birchas HaTorah, as a Birchas HaMitzvah. You got up in the morning, you decided you're going to learn Torah. Like any other mitzvah, you have to precede that learning, that mitzvah, by reciting a bracha. That's called Birchas HaMitzvah. The sugya in Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph is addressing an entirely different chiyuv. Not Talmud Torah as a mitzvah. Not the brachos as Birchas HaMitzvah. But rather, an independent, absolute chiyuv of reciting Birchas HaTorah on a daily basis. Havu Godel Lelo Kenu. When you're reading the Torah, and you have to read the Torah on a daily basis, then it's got to be preceded by Birchas HaTorah. So the two sugyas, as we said before, are addressing two different halachas and two different chiyuvim. Therefore, the Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchus Tefillah codifies these two sugyas in two different halachas. Halacha Yud is clearly reflecting the member of the psak of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel and Daf Yud Aleph, whereas Halacha Yud Aleph is based on the sugyan brachos Daf Chaf Aleph, namely the daily chiyuv to be mevarech ala Torah and then learn after the Torah. Now, if you're taking a look in the Rav's article, I would like you to start on Daf Gimel. Whatever was on Daf Beis and back to Daf Aleph we've covered, either last time or in this quick overview that we gave now. On the top of Daf Gimel, and I underlined a few key sentences, the Rav says, Pashut, he has no doubt that the Iser, the prohibition against enjoying a mitzvah, and I use that word enjoying deliberately, because what I mean is the combination, the correlation between Birchas HaNenim and Birchas HaMitzvah that we spoke about, that Iser that you're enjoying from implementing this mitzvah, or any mitzvah, before you recite a bracha, Birchas HaMitzvah, that's clearly a rabbinic prohibition. It was the Rabbanan who instituted Birchas HaMitzvah in general, just like they introduced Birchas HaNenim. However, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan's derivation in Brachos Chaf Aleph, which is the third source on your page, of Birchas HaTorah, Lifaneo Min HaTorah, based on the pasuk Kishem Hashem Eko Havu Godel Elokeinu, that's a chiyuv d'oraisa according to the Ramban, and therefore the Ramban accuses the Rambam of having omitted it from the counting of the Taryag, which is the fourth source on your page. Not only that, if you look carefully at the statement of Rabbi Yochanan in Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph, he wants to derive not just a bracha before you learn Torah, but even a bracha after you learn Torah. Take a look. It's on your page, the separate page I gave out, on Rabbi Yochanan, the third source. Lamadnu birchas haTorah lachreha min haTorah mi birchas haMazon v'kal v'chomer. Ma mazon shein ton lefonav ton liachrov, Torah shetuna lefoneha, eino din shetuna lachreha. And without going into the details of how this kal v'chomer operates, we see one thing. We're clearly not addressing what we call a Birchas HaMitzvah. We never found anywhere that a Birchas HaMitzvah should be recited not only before the mitzvah, but after the mitzvah. There is one exception to the rule, perhaps, and that's tefillin. Again, we don't have the minhag, but in the old times they used to make a bracha when they took off the tefillin. But that, the Rav used to tell us, is not on the mitzvah of tefillin, but rather on what we call chalitzas ha-tefillin. Because that's a kiyum of shmiras kedushas ha-tefillin. So there are two dimensions to the tefillin. There's the wearing the tefillin, and then there's the guarding of the sanctity of the tefillin. And therefore there was a separate bracha, which we don't know of today, but at the time of the Fashas, they had that gemara, they had that bracha. But as a general universal rule, we don't recognize a bracha after a mitzvah. How then do we explain this phenomenon, this very strange, unique phenomenon that Rabbi Yochanan derives in a Kal V'chomer from Birchas HaMazon that after we study Torah, there should be a Birchas HaMitzvah. I'm sorry, there should be a bracha. It cannot be a Birchas HaMitzvah if it's after the mitzvah. We've already recited a bracha before the mitzvah.
There's two exceptions, though.
Say it again?
There's two exceptions, at least, I can think of.
Okay, so those exceptions are fascinating. What exceptions do you have in mind? Well, bris milah, I would say, I mean, this depends on the Rishonim, when you recite the bracha. Some Rishonim say you recite it before the milah. And
sure,
the same...
Yeah, but a koris bris is afterwards.
A koris bris is something else. That's not a birchas mitzvah. That's a birchas shevach v'odoyah. But we're talking about a birchas mitzvah. So that the Gemara in Chaf Aleph and Rabbi Yochanan want to derive a birchas hamitzvah lachrecha, that makes no sense. Adarava, you're pointing out very well, David, that if we compare the bracha lachrecha that Rabbi Yochanan has in birchas haTorah to the cases of koreis habris, or to a case of Shema brachos, whatever you have after Nisuin, that would prove the Rav's point that what we're talking about in the context of Rabbi Yochanan, of a bracha lifnei Liman HaTorah, and a bracha after Liman HaTorah, Lefanel Lachrea, is not Birchas HaMitzvah at all. The Birchas HaMitzvah would clearly be Derabbanan. It would only be limited to Lefanel. And not only that, we would not look for a Minayan for that. But on the contrary, we're talking about a different sug, a different category of bracha. Al Karchenu, and I underlined it for you, the Rav says, Shalagabi Bracha Lachrea Medubar Lo Be'iso Limud Lelo Bracha, which is your classical structure of a Birchas HaMitzvah, El Bekiyum, but rather a fulfillment of a Chiyuv, of a Mitzvah. And what is that Mitzvah? The Rav defines it in those four words, Mizug Torah in Bracha. Who can tell me what the word Mizug means?
Dilution.
Say it again?
Dilution.
No, not dilution.
Yeah, that's one type. That's Mizuga.
No, no. Oh yeah, that Mizuga Satol. Mizug means integration. To integrate two things is called limazeg, mizug. It's also like the dilution because they added water to the concentrated wine. And it has nothing to do, by the way, with air conditioning.
Okay.
just so you shouldn't get confused. So the Rav says that this mitzvah, which is derived by Rabbi Yochanan from two sources, number one, Lefanel from Kishem Hashem Ekra, and Lachrea from the Kavachom Brikas HaMazon, those two brachos, which sandwich Talmud Torah right in the middle, create a new kiyum, a new mitzvah, which is absolutely obligatory on a daily basis of integrating Torah with bracha. A new entity of Torah plus bracha. And in Rabbi Yochanan's case, it's not just Torah plus bracha. It's a Torah with a bracha before it and a Torah with the bracha after it. It's Torah that's enveloped and sandwiched on both sides, on both bookends, by bracha. The Rav is going to dedicate most of this essay to try to understand this new entity of a mitzvah of mizug Torah in bracha, to integrate Torah with bracha. What kind of an integration is that? What's the goal? What's the purpose of that integration? And to read a little bit further in that same paragraph, the Rav writes, Chazinon Lehedja, this is a classical Briska language, we see explicitly, Shasugyos, Oskos, Benosim, Shonim, that these two sugyos that we studied, one in Yud-Alef and one in Chaf-Alef, are dedicated to two different topics. Zu, the first one, on Yud-Alef, to the Iser Kriya V'limud B'li Bracha, which the Rav compares to Birchas HaNenim, and that's certainly Derabbanan, and the second one is the Chiyuv of Tziruf, Torah u'bracha. You see here he substitutes the word tziruf for mizug. Tziruf means, again, a kind of an integration when you connect two things. And that, according to some Rishonim, he's referring to the Ramban. And the simple pshat in the Gemara, minayin, is doraisa. So we have a derabbanan and a doraisa. Then, in the next paragraph, about five lines down, the Rav has a fascinating proof to this whole concept of reading the Torah and reciting a bracha as a combo, as an entity unto itself from Tanakh. And he refers us to the eighth perek in Nehemiah. I pasted it also on your page. You can either look in the Rav's writings or in the page. It makes no difference to me. And the Torah, the Tanakh, describes Ezra Sofer opening up the Sefer Torah. And he's going to read from the Sefer Torah, publicly. And he's standing above the people. And the Tanakh describes, Vayivarech Ezra es Hashem Elokim HaGadol, Vayanu kol ha'om, Amen, Amen. It means, says the Rav, that this public reading of the Torah, represented, or the agent thereof, is Ezra, who's reading the Torah publicly, Liene kol ha'am, needs a bracha. So he opens the sefer, recites the bracha, and reads the Torah. Says the Rav, what do you derive from this? A halachic conclusion from a pasuk in Tanakh. See, that's the way we have to look at Tanakh. Shebetzibur kayemes chovas amiras shevach vodol HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shah shekorim b'Torah. That when the tzibur, as a community, gets together and reads the Torah, there's an obligation to recite words, a bracha of praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God at the time that we read the Torah. And once again, this means, at least with regard to the public reading of the Torah, that there is an integration of two elements, bracha and limud Torah, and kriyas haTorah.
Sorry, Rabbi, but why would Moshe Rabbeinu have done this on multiple occasions? Why are we learning this from Ezra? Especially if the Gemara is using a pasuk from Moshe, from Kishe Moshe Mekra, then why would Moshe have made a bracha? Wouldn't this be an indication of anything that it's a one-time event?
It's a good question, excellent question. I would assume that Moshe Rabbeinu, by saying Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godol Elokeinu, is indicating that that's what he did, and that's what we always have to do. The fact that the story is told in Nehemiah as a historical, shall I say, testimony that Ezra actually did this, is something that should be interpreted, I think, in the context of that parak of Tanakh. So I'm going to leave that for you for the time being, Chaim, to study that parak in Tanakh. That's going to be your homework for tonight. And see why is it so critical that the Torah... No, I mean it seriously. That the Torah felt compelled to testify in the Sefer HaSfarim, L'Netzach Nitzachim, that Ezra actually did this. And perhaps this was all part of Ezra's project, or his program, his campaign, to bring the Jewish people to a higher level of spirituality. You remember, of course, that Ezra was very upset about two phenomena. Number one, so few people came back to settle in the land of Israel at the time of Aliyah Shnia. And secondly, Ezra was perturbed about the intermarriage rate, which was very high. And this whole perek in Nehemiah is reflecting on Ezra's campaign to try to arouse the spiritual and to get the Jewish people to be more observant. But the real source for it, as you pointed out, Chaim, very well, is the Torah itself. And this is a statement of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, I will call out the Shem Hashem, which Chazal interpret to mean reading of the Torah. Havu Godol Elokeinu, you will respond by reciting a bracha. And therefore, in the Torah itself, which is the Ramban source, based on the Gemara in Brachas Chaf Aleph, for the mitzvah d'oraisa to be counted the tayag of Birchas HaTorah, the hine yeuyan besugya b'megila. Now, we're on a whole... No, I'm sorry, that's premature. No, I'm sorry, my mistake. And now, what does the Rav want to get from the Sugya Megillah? There's another Sugya Megillah, that's where I got confused. If you take a look on page Hay, on the top, about four lines down, that's where we're going to get to a Sugya Megillah. So let's not confuse the two, my mistake.
Does the Pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Moram Brachot uses that for Zimun, right? And as a source for Zimun. So... is it okay to use the same passage?
I don't know. That's an excellent question. I don't know, Neil, if we can get into that now. So now let's look at the sugya in Megillah and Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara there is studying the entire list of dvarim that require asara, which is enumerated in a detailed list in the Mishnah in Megillah Chav Gimel Amid Beis. And the Gemara referring to all those individual cases that require asara raises the question, minani mili, what's the source in the Torah for requiring asara? The classical case, by the way, mentioned in that Mishnah is Tefillah B'Tzibur. But we're not interested in that dimension, we're interested in Kriyas HaTorah at this point, which is also listed in that Mishnah. Minani mili, Amar Abchiyah Bar Amar Rab Yochanan. Interesting that it's again Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar Krav Nikdashti Besof B'nei Yisrael. I will be sanctified in the midst of the people of Israel. Kol Dorish Kedushina, this word Nikdashti here, and again, Neil, I'm sure you're asking in your mind, but we need that pasuk for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. But in addition to the Kiddush Hashem classic of Yeharik Val Yavar, we also derive something else from that same pasuk. And here I can tell you right up front, it's not a problem to derive two dinim from this pasuk, because they're both really identical. That whenever you have a tzibur of Klal Yisrael, it always generates a chiyuv of Kiddushas Hashem, of Kiddush Hashem, and when the tzibur gets together to fulfill its obligation of tefillah, or even of Kriyas HaTorah, in a communal, public forum, then it becomes a Dover Shebe Kedusha. And a Dover Kedusha requires Asorah. There are many, many dinim that apply to something which is upgraded to the status of Dover Shebe Kedusha. For example, we have to stand, or we open up the Aron, or we start with a minyan, we can continue even without the minyan. There are many different detailed halachas that apply to a Dover Shebe Kedusha. But what's interesting for us here at this point is that a Dover Shebe Kedusha, insofar as it requires Asara, strangely enough, applies to Kriyas HaTorah. So the Rav says, let's take Chazaras HaShatz as our paradigm example in that Mishnah. We understand very well that when the Tzibur prays as a Tzibur, when the Tefillah is a Tefillah HaTzibur, that is a classical Dover Shebe Kedusha. But why is Kriyas HaTorah listed there? What sets up Kriyas HaTorah as a Dover Shebe Kedusha? And the answer is, Baruch Hu. The recitation of Baruch Hu before Kriyas HaTorah as a blessing to Hashem in public, that itself generates the status of Dover Shebe Kedusha with regard to Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore the Rav says, Nimtza ki takonas Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur nikva al yedei Ezra lo rak l'shem limud levad ela kitziruf kidushmo im limud. This Chaim might answer your question. I don't think that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said Kishem Hashem Ekra, was addressing the issue of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. He was addressing the individual mitzvah that applies to every yachid as a yachid to recite Birchas HaTorah. What Ezra established was a new dimension to the bracha on Torah, and that is to elevate Birchas HaTorah from a Chovas Yachid to a Chovas Tzibur, and give it the status, therefore, of a Kiddush Hashem, of a Davashe B'Kedusha. So the bracha, which is established on the public reading of the Torah by Ezra, has now a function of generating a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. What I'd like to do now is take a little break and read to you a short paragraph from Rav Shechter's book called Nefesh HaRav. You're all familiar with this sefer? So I found an interesting paragraph that's relevant to us. It's called Be'inyone Kriyas HaTorah. It's in the first volume. I didn't get a chance to photocopy it, I apologize. And the Rav tells a story about his uncle, the Brisker Rav, who entered into a shul. He doesn't tell you where or when, but he tells you it was on Shabbos, and it was Mincha time, and he got there a little bit late. And the Kayin, the first Ole, had already recited Baruch Hu Es Hashem Amvorach before the Brisker Rav came in. But the Brisker Rav heard the Bracha Asher Bachar Banu. So all he missed was what? Was Baruch Hu. And the Makri had not started reading the Torah. And yet, the Brisker Rav krechtzed. Hisanach. The Omar, and he declared, Lo Yatzasi Yedei Chovas Kriya. Since I missed the Baruch Hu before Birkas HaTorah, I have not fulfilled my obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. And now I have to pick myself up and find myself a different synagogue so that I could hear Kriyas HaTorah. Again, if it was Mincha time, I don't know how easy that's going to be. So the Rav added his own explanation to this story. Why was the Brisker Rav convinced that the Baruch Hu at the beginning of Birchas Kriyas HaTorah is so critical? Why is it Ma'akev in the midst of Kriyas HaTorah? And Rav Shechter quotes the Rav, and he says something similar you'll find in the Rav's Ish Halacha, in the Man of Halacha, which we didn't get to because this is at the very end of the Sefer. Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur Ba'a Lo Rak L'Shem Limud, Kriyas HaTorah publicly has a new dimension to it. It's not just an intellectual study. Ki'im, but rather, l'shem sidur, to arrange pegisha im Elokim. Wow, this is very dramatic. An encounter with Almighty God. The Tzibur is encountering Almighty God. Which is the first time in history when the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael encountered Almighty God and received the Torah. And our Sinai. And basically every Kriyas HaTorah for all of history is a duplication of Matan Torah. We recreate or resuscitate that stature, amazing stature, where we stood b'tachtas ha'har and we received the Torah when the Shekhinah came down. Yesh b'kriyas ha'Torah mishum gilui Shekhinah. When we read the Torah, this is mind-boggling to think about, the Shekhinah itself, or herself, is revealed. B'chol makom u'b'chol zman. And a man has the capacity to feel the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close, when the Shekhinah is in proximity, then Chayav Hu L'Kadesh HaShmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has now an obligation of Kiddush Hashem. How is he Mekadesh Hashem in this public Gili Shekhinah experience? By reciting the Brachos. L'Asa Islo to God Shevach V'Hodoyah. And the Rav goes on to say that the Maharam Rotenberg used to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, and the Rav believes that the reason he did so is because of this underlying principle that we are recreating Maimon Har Sinai. It's a duplication. And at Har Sinai it says that the Jewish people stood as a result of the fact that the Shekhinah was there. We too imitate or duplicate what happened at Har Sinai because our Kriyas HaTorah is a microcosm of that, a repeat, a duplication of, a replication of that Maimon Har Sinai, the Shekhinah is there. And he ends the paragraph, Rav Shechter, apparently unaware of this piece, because he would have quoted this piece, V'chein Matzinu V'sefer Nechemya Perek Ches, V'yavarech Ezra Es Hashem Elokim HaGadol, V'yanu Kolam Amen Amen, Vaishtachu, etc. Hare Shekenasa Ezra. Shehikdim Dovashim Kedusha, meaning he recited first the Brach with the Barchu, L'Kriyas HaTorah. So this explains, at least in terms of Kriyas HaTorah Ben Tzibur, as a Dovashim Kedusha, why the Amiris HaBracha is an integral part, and it's even indispensable in the midst of Kriyas HaTorah. That Bracha is a kiyum of Ignikdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael. And it's generated by the Nochus, the presence of the Shekhinah at the time that we read the Torah as a duplication of Maimon Har Sinai. However, that's not really going to help us here. It's a very nice shtickle Torah. But what we want to know about is Kriyas HaTorah B'Yachid. Am I as an individual, when I study Torah, obligated to create this entity of bracha with Torah? I mean, after all, if you're talking about a davish of kedusha, that only applies to a chovas tzibur. When tzibur of klal Yisrael betoch b'nei Yisrael, that's the v'nikdashti. But what about kriya b'yachid? So that's the Rav in the second paragraph on page Dalid. And he says, what about Limud Torah B'yachid? So he says that the source for Limud Torah B'yachid with a bracha is that sugya that derives this mitzvah, this obligation from Kishem Hashem Ekra. He says the following. Even though for the bracha of Baruch Hu in Kedusha, we need 10. And that's impossible to demand in the case of a Yachid. And the Pasuk in Nehemiah with regard to Ezra was referring to the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, of Bnei Yisrael, therefore was the Davish B'Kedusha, and that Bracha was the Kiddush Hashem. Nevertheless, says the Rav, Gam B'Yachid, even with regard to the individual, Chayav Laseis Godol L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, B'shash Akari B'Torah, El Shu Osezos Lo Al Yedei Baruch Hu, Ela Al Yedei Birchas HaTorah. He says that there's a parallel between Baruch Hu, when we read the Torah publicly, to give greatness and declare the praise of Almighty God. And Birchas HaTorah for Yachid, where we recite the brachos before we learn Torah. It's almost as if the Rav is implying, although he doesn't say this, that there's a kind of Miktsas Kiddush Hashem experience on an individual level. And that is by reciting Birchas HaTorah before we study Torah. And once again, this is about the third time the Rav does this, he defines this entity as Torah Ushevach, which is Mitzuraf Lechativa Achas, to integrate both Torah and Bracha into one entity, not only Bitzibur, as we saw before, in the case of Ezra, but also B'Yochid. Let me add that on the top of page Dalet, the Rav says that this halacha of Dabar Shebikdusha with regard to the public reading of the Torah applies not just to the reading of the Torah Shebichsav, but also to the study of Torah Shebal Peh. And his proof is a very interesting one. He quotes a Gemara in Sota, Memtes, that in the case of Agadita, in other words, when we study some Agadic inspirational part of the Torah, and we're talking about Torah Shebal Peh now, we conclude that by reciting what's called the Kaddish Derabbanan, which in the Gemara's language is called Yehei Shmei Rabba Da Gadata. Says the Rav, what's the purpose, what's the role of this Kaddish? A question which, by the way, the Rav addresses over and over again throughout the Sefer, always meticulous about understanding what the role of a Kaddish is as it's interspersed within the davening, but in this case in the learning. Says the Rav Al Yadah, through reciting this special Kaddish Derabbanan, again we integrate, you saw the word Mizug again, Talmud Torah with Ritzui Dvarim Shebikdusha. Yeheshmei Rab is always a Dvar Shebikdusha, and Rashi in Sota amplifies this, and the Rav claims that this tradition to recite Kaddish Derabbanan, as the Gemara mentions in Sota, is also a reflection of the Pasuk Yishem Hashem Ekra Havagol Elkeinu. It cannot be derived from the Parsha of Ezra that we saw, because that was Torah Shebichsav, and it would not be an expression of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. But even though we have it Tzibur, since it's Torah Shebal Peh, we can only talk about a Dvar Shebikdusha through the vehicle or derived from the source of Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Leilukin. Now at this point, starting with the paragraph, the major paragraph on page Dalet, the source of which I also copied for you on the page, I added Rashi, is a comparison of two different sugyas and an attempt to analyze by comparing those two sugyas based on what the Rav has already established until this point. What would you say, just by way of introduction, to the Sugyan Brachos Daf Ches, if you had two choices, and you could either daven in a shul, or you could daven in a Beis Medrash, what would your knee-jerk response be? Your gut reaction. Where would you choose, where would you prefer to daven? Anybody? I mean, you have a 50% chance of getting this right, so...
Base Medrash, I'd say.
You would say a Base Medrash. I would have said a Base HaKnesses. Well,
me too, but knowing...
Oh, you knew I was tricking you.
Yeah.
Ah, I see. Very good. So you set yourself up, Chaim, in a way that no matter what, you'll get it right. Okay? So I would have said a Beis HaKnesses, because what is a Beis HaKnesses if not a Mokom HaMiyuchad L'Tefillah? And in fact, Abaye originally thought like me, till he got the trick question, and then he changed his mind. But we'll see. Amale Rava L'Rafram Bar Papa. Lemelon Mar Mahani Milsi Mihani Milsi Mahal Yisod Di Amrit Mishmei Rav Chizda B'mili d'bei k'nisht. They were learning a sugya about the status of the Beis HaKnesses. And Rava turns to Raphram, who was a student of Rav Chisda. He says, tell me over something good, something sharp and clever, some new insight into from that you heard from your Rebbe Rav Chisda on the topic of Beis HaKnesses. You understand, of course, that this can only be understood in the context of what a Rebbe-Talmud relationship was then, which the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that a Talmud used to learn at his Rebbe's footsteps for 40 years. So if you learned by your Rebbe for 40 years, you could say, hey, I'm learning Sugya X, tell me what your Rebbe said over the last 40 years on that Sugya. You know, I don't know today, if you could choose a Sugya out of a hat and say, oh, Zogmir, what did your Rebbe say? What was the Mechadish on that topic? My dichsiv, I filled in on the side, it's a Pasuk in Tilim Pei Zayin, Pasuk Beis. Oy Vashem Sharei Tzion, Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov. What does it mean that God desires or loves, he cherishes Sharei Tzion? What does Sharei Tzion mean? Above and beyond Mishkanos Yaakov. So Rav Chisda had an insight into this Pasuk. Oy Vashem, God prefers Sha'arim, what is Sharei Tzion? Hamitsuyonim Bahalocha. In other words, those gates that open up into study halls where they study the halacha, yoser mi bate knesios. Now the next two words are a little bit complicated, bate midrashos, and we're going to see that there's a girsa issue here, which we'll get into, the Rav is going to get into, but for the time being, just to simplify matters, God prefers the areas that are dedicated to the study of halacha above and beyond Bate Knesios. Vahainu, then there's a whole string of statements here in this Gemara. Vahainu di Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ami Mishmei de Ula. I'm not exactly sure if this is part of the discussion of Raphram and Ravo, or this the Gemara is now moving it along. Miyom Shecharev Beis HaMikdash Ein Lo La Kodesh Baruch Hu Bo Lomo Ela Arba Amos Shal Halacha Bilvat. From the time of the Churban and on, where is the Makom Hashchina? Where do you find God? Where does God enter into four cubits and, so to speak, with contract his Shechina into a small area of Dalet al Dalet in the places that study Halacha? And now the Gemara goes on. There's a third member. V'yomer Abaye. Abaye talks about himself. Meiresh originally, Havigrisna, Bigo Besa. I used to study in my private office, my private study hall at home. He had an office at home, that's where he studied. Umatzlinon, I used to pray, Bibay Knisht, I went to Shul. But Kev under Shamina, Lehodiyom Rabchia, Barami Mishmedula, Miyom Shechar Besa Migdosh, Ein Lola Kodesh Bok Volom El Arba Mashal Loch Bilvad. He changed his practice. Lo havi matzlina ela hecha digarisna. I didn't pray except in the place where I studied. Now, does this mean he forfeited the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur? That's going to be a subject of debate. But be that as it may, he certainly preferred to daven at home, in this case, where he learned, where he studied the Torah. Because after Churban Abayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired the Arba Amos Halacha, the place where one studies, above and beyond the Beis Knesses. So Abayi heard this new Halacha, this new statement, and he actually changed his Minhag. I'm fascinated by this because, you know, what does it take to change a Minhag? You know, what did your father do, Abayi? Okay, Abayi actually was a Yosam, but what did your grandfather do? In other words, isn't there a tradition? But Abayi says, you know, I heard a piece of Torah, and I changed a very, very fundamental custom and observance in my life. I literally switched, maybe he handed in his resignation of membership in the shul, I don't know, but he switched his place of davening. That's pretty phenomenal. I remember my father, Zichron Levracha, came back once from a shiur from the Rav, and he said, from now on, we're going to sit for Kiddush. We always stood for Kiddush on Friday night, and my father literally changed his minhag because he was so convinced of what the Rav said. Again, we stand for Vayichu, but I'm saying for Kiddush itself we sit. That wasn't the minig in the family, Dori Doros. But here's a source for changing one's minig. Okay. So first of all, we have Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah interprets this that the Gemara is not relating to a base medrash, because how could that be so? Ki alohe difa es sha'arim etzion ba'aloch aleihem, according to the text that we have, our girsa, these so-called sha'arim etzion ba'aloch were preferable to the batei midrashos. Ki'im, what is the Gemara, the thrust of this Gemara, l'makom miyuchad shebo melamdim Torah barav. What shiarim itziyon ba'alocha, it's not the place where we study, in the classical sense, what we call a study hall, but rather it's a place where we transmit the Torah to the masses. This is a special ki'um of mesiras ha-Torah l'rabim. Because once the Torah is passed on to the rabim, it contains the element of Horas HaTorah. And that is a special place. Has a status like a base vad. And here's the language of Rabbeinu Yonah. Kach oev hashiyar matzion v'alocha klomar. Shesham kvius HaTorah v'horos b'chol yom. Yoseh mibate knisios ubate midrash shalom devan lefisha. Drash also pasuk. Drashas of Pasuk, I think he means, you know, we study in a base medrash individual parts of the Torah and we analyze them, but the place where the final canonized Torah is passed on to the next generation as the final word, that's the Shiar Mamitzion Ba'aloch. But the Rav is not interested in Rabbeinu Yonah, he's interested in the Rambam, he's mentioning Rabbeinu Yonah just to give you an introduction, to give you a general picture of what's going on. Now we're ready to see the Rambam. And the Rambam in the eighth parak of Hilchas Tefillah says the following: Beis HaMedrash gadol mi Beis HaKnesses. A study house is greater than a shul. VeChachamim gedolim af al pi shehayolem beiron batei knesios harbe. There were many opportunities for davening in a shul within the city. Nevertheless, lo hayu mispalalim ela b'makom shahayu oskim sham batorah. The Rambam apparently did not have the girsa of Yoser mibatei midrashos, and therefore, according to the Rambam's girsa, the issue was beis medrash or beis knesses. Which is greater? Which should demand my primary attention as far as the mitzvah of tefillah? Should I be davening at Beis Knesses? That makes sense. Or should I be davening in a Beis Medrash? And that's the whole story. In other words, within the context of a Beis Medrash, the Rambam doesn't have any sort of a bifurcation, you know, some sort of split between this Beis Medrash, that Beis Medrash, Rabbeinu Yonah, Shem Yitzchak B'locha, that he doesn't have. And that's why the Rambam opens up this halach by telling us that Beis Medrash is gadol mi Beis HaKnesses. That's all he's interested in, is comparing a Beis Medrash to a Beis Knesses. However, we really have to understand this halach, this chiddush of Rav Chisda. And Abaye, based on Rav Chisda, changed his observance, his custom, and instead of davening in the Beis Knesses, he davened in his Beis Medrash. But only after he heard the drasha of Rav Chisda and the statement of Ula. And now the Rav points to a different sugya. This sugya is in Megillah. I also have that printed on your page at the very bottom. On Daf, Chavav, Amid Beis. It's really on Chav Zayin, Amid Aleph. The Gemara quotes a machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Which Kedusha is greater? Which sanctity takes preference? And it's all nogeh to selling shel beis knesses or shel beis medrash. Amar Rav Papi, mishmei de Rav, mi bei knishta lebei rabbanon, can I sell a shul in, or not sell a shul, that's not really meticulous, can I convert a shul into a beis medrash? And the answer is yes. Mibei Rabbanon lebei Knishta, can I convert a base medrash into a shul? Aser. Why? Which kedusha is greater? That of a Beis Medrash. Rav Papa Mishmei Rava. This is a classic. You have Rav Papi and Rav Papa, both quoting Rava, but two traditions, two versions. Masli Ibcha. He has the exact opposite. And therefore, Beis Knesset is greater. Omar Rav Acha. Kavosei de Rav Papi Mistabra. He prefers the opinion that Beis HaMedrash is greater than Beis HaKnesses. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Beis HaKnesses, Mutal HaSoso Beis HaMedrash. You're allowed to convert a Beis Knesset to a Beis Medrash. Shmamin. So that's the opinion of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Dorash Rav Bar Kapora, Maidich Siva Yisrof is Beis HaShem, Ves Beis HaMelech. If somebody can find this pasuk, I see I didn't look for it. Ves kol bate Yerushalayim, ves kol bayis gadol sarah ba'esh beis Hashem ze beis hamikdash beis hamelech el paltarin shel melech es kol bayis kol sarfesh. Fine. But this part of the sugi is not for us. Rabbi Yochanan, for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, chad amar makom shemegadlim bo Torah, chad amar makom shemegadlim bo Tefila. It means that according to Rabbi Yochanan, a makom shemegadlim bo Torah is greater. I'm sorry, just the reverse. Makom shegat megadlim bo Tefila is greater. So Rabbi Yochanan rejects the shita Rav Papi, which is the shita that Rav Acha preferred. What's bothered by the Rav? What is the Rav bothered by? Im kein lama is palel Abaye bebeis Knesses. Until Abaye heard the statement of Ula, of Rav Chizda, and Ula, his minig was to daven in a Beis Knesses. After he heard Ula, he switched. It doesn't make sense. He should have decided where to daven based on the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Correct? Meaning, which is greater, the kedusha of Beis Knesses or the kedusha of Beis HaMedrash? Mimanafshach. If Abaye holds that, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that Beis Medrash is greater, it has a higher level of sanctity, and therefore you can't change a Beis Knesses to a Beis HaMedrash, which, as I point out on the side, is the Pesach and the Rambam, then Abaye from the get-go should have davened in a Beis HaMedrash. If, on the other hand, he argues with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he agrees to Rabbi Yochanan's position that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is superior, then why did he change his minug and start davening in a Beis HaMedrash? To summarize the Rav's question, the Rav's problem, there is a certain discrepancy between two sugyas that don't jive. The sugya in Brachos seems to assume that a Beis Knesses, a Beis Medrash, is the way the Rambam learns it, is a better option for tefillah because of this whole business about Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash. Why didn't the Gemara in Brachos somehow introduce the sugya in Megillah?
Aren't they two separate
issues?
Because the Kedusha, one is greater than the other, it doesn't mean that, like, the idea of where to daven, it's a separate issue. It's not,
excellent.
It doesn't have to do anything with the Kedusha.
Excellent, you're a real brisker, Neil. They're Tzvei Dinami and they shouldn't be confused. And once again, the Rav is teaching us that when you see two sugyas that seem similar in terms of their issue, you have to work very hard to see how they're different fundamentally. Says the Rav, Habir hu pashut, Diyun ha-sugya b'megillah, Eza Kedusha gedola, whether the Beis Knesses is greater than the Beis HaMedrash or not, that has nothing to do with the issue of where one should daven. It's only nogea to one issue, if you want to convert A to B or B to A. However, it doesn't relate to the question of where to daven. Even if I accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that the sanctity of a Beis HaMedrash is superior and exceeds beyond that of a Beis HaKnesses, that doesn't mean that therefore I should be davening in a Beis HaMedrash. Because Shinui Makom, in other words, to change the nature of the place, that touches on the sugi of Maila Mekodesh for Lomo Rita Mekodesh. You have something that has Kedusha, you cannot dilute that Kedusha and diminish it. You can only upgrade the Kedusha. So Rabbi Shuva Levi, for his shita, takes the opinion that by changing a base Knesset to a base HaMedrash, you are upgrading its Kedusha. To do the reverse would be Morid, and would be to diminish the Kedusha. But now we have to ask a different question. Which is the place in which I should daven? And this touches on an entirely different issue. The Rav formulates it in this sentence: Kol makom u'makom hukdash v'huktza l'mitzvaso. Every place is designated for its mitzvah. A base Knesset is designated for the mitzvah of tefillah. A base Medrash for Torah. Therefore, where should I daven? In a base Knesset, because that is the makom ha'miyuchad l'tefillah. The Rav says that there's no hider mitzvah in davening in a place that has a greater kedusha, namely a base HaMedrash, and Kifyo like Rav Shuben Levi. Rav Shuben Levi never entertained the idea that you should daven in a base HaMedrash. A base HaMedrash is dedicated to the mitzvah of study. A base Knesset is appropriate for tefillah, insofar it's designated, it's hooked to the mitzvah's tefillah. What is a base HaMedrash? What is its entire essence? It's chalos. Is Limud Torah, not tefillah. However, with regard to the question of either elevating the Kedusha or lowering the Kedusha from one Kedusha to another, Rabbi Shuva Levi was convinced, and that's how he paskin, that Kedusha's based on Medrash is greater. And why is that? Because when you dedicate a place to the mitzvah Talmud Torah, that gives that makom greater Kedusha than another place which is dedicated to the mitzvah of tefillah. However, that doesn't contradict the principle, the premise, that tefillah should be implemented in the place that's hukdash la, that's dedicated, that hukta, that's been designed for that mitzvah. The fact that Talmud Torah could create a greater kedusha, that's no ge'ah to the halach of Maile and Omoridin, to the question of changing a place, but has nothing to do with where I should daven. The Rav gives a very strange mashal. His metaphor is the following. Let's say, for example, there's a mitzvah of eating ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim. Should I look at Yerushalayim, divide it up into different levels of Kedusha, right? There are 10 levels of Kedusha. So should I say, you know what? I should eat my ma'aser sheni in the Azara. Okay, I don't know, Yisrael can't go into the Azara, but you can go into part of the Azara, you can't go into Heichal. So, that's ridiculous. The place to eat Ma'aser Sheni or Kachim Kalim is Yerushalayim. You would not enhance your mitzvah by entering into a place that has greater Kedusha. It's a beautiful mashal. You see, it's very strange how he compares two different areas of halach entirely. He says the same thing applies to tefillah. To say that I have to daven in the holiest place, that's not what we're talking about. Therefore, the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Shuben Levi would not generate for us any conclusions with regarding tefillah, where we should daven. However, now we have a chiddush from Rav Chisda and Ula. That's an entirely different subject. What they're saying is that a Beis HaMedrash has Kedusha and has designation not just for the mitzvah of Torah, not just for the study of Torah, but also for the mitzvah of tefillah. In other words, we misunderstand the halacha of huktzol mitzvaso with regard to a Beis HaMedrash if we convince ourselves that the mitzvah for which this place is dedicated is the mitzvah of Torah and not the mitzvah of tefillah.
You can't go the other way.
Why? How does this get developed? Ki im gam le mitzvah tefillah v'zos bedarga yoser gvoa mikdushas beis haKnesset. On a higher level, the Beis HaMedrash is dedicated to tefillah. Why is that so? Rav Chisda interpreted the pasuk Oev Hashem es Sharei Tzion mikol Mishkanos Yaakov as relating to I'm sorry. The pasuk al pipshuto, the mikra, ein mikra yotzei de pshuto, is referring to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and comparing it to other Mikdashim and Bamos. You know, we have Mishkan, and we have Shiloh, and we have Nov and Givon. And the Pshuto Shel Mikra is to say that once the Mikdash landed in its final permanent destination, namely Yerushalayim, now its Kedusha is that much greater than all the other Mikdashos. Rav Chisda postulates an equation between Beis Medrash and Yerushalayim. And he says that the opposite flip side of that parallel is a parallel between Batei Knesios and the other Mikdashim. So basically he reads into the Pasuk that the Pasuk is telling us that a Beis Medrash is greater than a Beis HaKnesses, just like the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is greater than all the other Mikdashos. Now, with regard to Yerushalayim and its relationship to Shiloh, Nov, Givon, and other Mikdashos, there's no difference in the inherent Kedusha. Yerushalayim was designated for the same... When I say Kedusha, what I mean is designation. Yerushalayim was designated to the same mitzvos as all the other Mikdashos. Kedushas Yerushalayim lo hikifa dvar mesuyam shelo hayu b'shilo. Hahevdel hu bi'echus ha-kedusha mahusa lo be'hakefo mitzvoseo. Hu adil gavi ha-shoni bein beis medrash le beis ha-knesses. Gam beis ha-medrash muzman u-mukta le-tfila k'mo beis ha-knesses. Bi'etzem ha-kedushasa le-torah nichleles gam ha-kedusha le-tfila. The Rav is interpreting, he's reading a lot into Rav Chisda, into this Gemara. Layers and layers that he's peeling off that we never would have imagined. He's saying that by comparing Yerushalayim to the other Mikdashos, and in the parallel, in the Nimshal, comparing a Beis Medrash to a Beis Knesses, Rav Chisda is indicating that as far as Haktzah is concerned, a Beis Medrash is the same as a Beis Knesses. It has the same Haktzah. And it's hukta not just to Torah, but also to Tefillah. Just like all the Mikdashos have the same Haktzah, they're dedicated to the same mitzvos, whether it be Hakrova, whether it be Tefillah, whatever it might be, so too, a Beis HaMedrash has the same status of Haktzah as a... I'm sorry, did I say Beis Knesses? I meant to say Beis Medrash as a Beis HaKnesses. V'zeu ma shekavu Rav Chisda v'yula ki ha-hakdosha l'tfila ha-meshubetzes b'mizgeres Torah gedola ba'arocha me-haktzah l'tfila l'chut. What's greater about a Beis HaMedrash that gives it priority in terms of tefillah to a Beis HaKnesses? After all, a Beis HaKnesses is muchan or mezuman, it's dedicated for tefillah. The answer is because in the dedication of a Beis Medrash, we have a twofold dedication. It's dedicated to both Torah and tefillah. And in that sense, in Hilchas Hakdasha, the Beis HaMedrash has a superior status. When Abai finds this out, he changes his minhag. He starts davening in the place that he learned. What did Ula add to edify to Abai's understanding? That the Dalet Amos of Halacha, Mahavos Hemsheikh Beis HaMikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash is gone, but what replaces it? It's the Beis HaMedrash. And now the Beis HaMedrash has that type of Kedushas Migdash. Lachain, Kedushas Beis HaMedrash, he kol koleles. the sanctity, again, he's not talking about sanctity. I use the word sanctity, but that's a mistaken word. He's talking about Hakdosha now. Hakdosha means what it's dedicated to. The issue of sanctity, that's the Sugya Megillah, the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Shimon Levi. He's talking about Hakdosha now. The Hakdosha, the Beis HaMedrash, is an all-inclusive Hakdosha, and it includes both Torah and Tefillah. So now the question is, if you have two opportunities, two options, one alternative is to daven in a place that's designated only for davening, and another is to daven in a place which is designated for both Torah and davening, then which one should you choose? You choose the Beis HaMedrash because it's dedicated to both Torah and Tefillah together. I know it's late, so I'll just add one paragraph, Balpeh. We won't go through the next paragraph inside now, but what the Rav is now at the threshold of a breakthrough in which he is going to integrate Torah and Tefillah into a greater whole. And by doing so, he's going to expand our definition of Torah. We think that Torah is just an intellectual act of study in order to gain knowledge and acquire more and more knowledge of the Torah. The Rav is about to present an entirely different thesis in which Torah is part of Tefillah. Now, what is Tefillah in the language of the Torah itself? What word does the Torah... You won't find the word Tefillah in the Torah. What word does the Torah use? If you know the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, you'll know exactly what I mean. What? Avoda. Right, the Avoda is Tefillah. So the Rav is now going to claim, he's going to present a radical thesis, that Torah itself, the study of Torah, is also Avoda. And when you combine Torah and Tefillah into one entity, what you end up with is the greatest kiyum of Avoda possible. In other words, when you study Torah just on intellectual level and it doesn't become Avoda, when you study, when you pray and you daven and it's Avoda, so you split the two. When you combine them, what you get is Avoda with a capital Ayin, and it's a greater entity of Avoda, and that's why Abaye would prefer to daven in a place that's designated for Avoda in the complete sense, in the perfect all-inclusive Avoda of Torah and Tefillah together, since the Beis Medrash now replaces the Beis HaMikdash, and it has the designation for Tefillah. Because again, the Rav's assuming that a base HaMikdash is a Makom Tefillah, ki base Tefillah Yikari L'chol HaAmim. So the base Medrash now is designated not just for the Avoda of Torah, but also for the Avoda of Tefillah, the complete perfect synthesis of Torah and Tefillah. That's why Abaye decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to change my minhag. Now, henceforth, I am going to daven where? In the Beis HaMedrash. Why? Because the Beis HaMedrash is dedicated to the full-blown Avoda. The Avoda that combines both Tefillah and Torah together. And again, just to anticipate what's coming around the bend, this is all meant to lead us back to the original thesis that Rabbi Yochanan in Brachos Chafal of the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph, are presenting a new entity that's obligatory on a daily basis, that we have to create this new entity, which we call the Mizug, if you remember, integrating both what? Bracha and Talmud Torah. Bracha, says the Rav, is the Avoda dimension. And Torah is the Torah dimension, but they all are integrated into one greater whole, namely what? Avod. So that, Mirtz Hashem, Bli Neder, will pick up on Dav Zion here next week. And I thank everyone for joining me.